This podcast is brought to you by Premier Surgical Associates. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. For more than 20 years, Premier's expert surgeons have helped thousands of East Tennessee patients in the fight against breast cancer.
This podcast of the Swain Event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900.
Swain Event, hour three here on 11. No, we're not on 11. We are on 850 AM, 100.9 FM. It is 1 minute past the top of the hour here on a Wednesday. Best day of the week.
Hump day.
Ben McKee, Charlie Burge, Jason Swain here with you. And for what was a little short there. A segment, but Charlie, you have it for what? And we do not want to move on without you sharing your great for what with the people.
I wanted to throw this one in here. Now, Ben, I see you the video.
I've got it queued up as always, Charlie.
Charlie, I got these props today, man. You got videos and audio.
This is we're multifaceted here on the Swain Event.
I think we should just let it play.
Well, I will.
Before you give any content,
I will at least say what exactly is happening here for anyone who. Well, we're not even showing the video on our video feed, but it's three pundits on CNN. Brooke Baldwin is the host, and the guy talking is a writer for the Daily Beast.
The Daily Beacon
website, close. That's the full stage here. Play that clip, Ben.
I believe it's the overreaction of the left when you see people like Ted Cruz getting chased out of restaurants by a mob. It's totally a mob. It is without a doubt. There's no other word for it. It's a go watch. Put up the
Stop. A mob is what we saw in Charlottesville, Virginia, 2 Augusts ago.
No.
A mob is not what we saw chasing. I'm not saying what they did was right.
What about the people who were at the Supreme Court banging on the walls? What do you call that? Civil protest? Or is that a mob? I think it's easily a mob.
Yeah, and if it were Tea Partiers, we'd call it a mob for sure. Come on, let's be serious.
Let me move past the M word because I do feel like that is part of the weaponization.
Did you catch that there at the end?
Now on the right,
she called it the M word. We can't say mob now. Mob. It was a mob in Charlottesville, Virginia. It was also a mob that chased Ted Cruz out of a restaurant. It's a mob when people protest speakers. It's a mob, like that lady said, when it's a tea party. It's a mob outside of Neyland Stadium on Saturdays when there's a giant crowd outside. It's, you know, what are we doing here? Why? How? We can't say mob. We have to say the N-word. Get out of here, Brooke Baldwin. The M-word. Don't say, we can't say mob. That's derogatory.
It sounded like you said N.
Oh, yeah. You can't say the N-word, but now we're throwing in the M word with that too. Give me the biggest break. The idiocy here is unbelievable. It is mind numbing. I don't know who this host is. I don't know who that dude is. I mean, I know the Daily Beast is actually kind of a liberal website. He's left leaning in some sense, and I was just, and even that guy was like, what? What are you talking about? We can't say mob. I saw this yesterday and I was just dumbfounded. I knew I had to put it on for what the second I saw it. Stop. Stop it.
You're going to trigger somebody this morning, Charlie.
Stop it. I'm not going to touch politics in any of this, but you can say mob. It's okay. Don't listen to this dumb lady on CNN.
Tennessee Terry on the text box says, talking about Gus micromanaging the coordinators and some of the players losing respect for the OC of DC, isn't that going on in Tennessee? Pruitt calling the defense during game day and stepping in on the offense to help out. Is there a difference? I think from the look of it right now, As you compare Tennessee to Auburn, absolutely there's a difference. Number one, this is Pruitt's first year, and from the get-go, he says he was going to call the defense. And from the get-go, I'm pretty sure the defensive coordinators who are named the defensive coordinators knew the deal when they took the job that Pruitt was going to be calling the plays. Gus Malzahn has had history of basically micromanaging an offense coordinator to the point where one has left in Rhett Lashley. Chip Lindsey is having the same issues, and there's been reports that he may be on his way out and will find a way to get out of there. Now, it is worth mentioning Pruitt has found himself working with the offense a little bit more. We do not know if that means he is micromanaging or he's just being a head coach, which is being the overseer of the entire program, offense, defense, special teams, and not just being focused as the defensive coordinator or the coach who calls plays. So I think there is a difference as we look at things right now. I think if you continue to go on this entire season and you hear more and more stuff, and let's say it gets worse and it starts to develop that Pruitt is, in fact, trying to call plays and whatever, whatever, then we can have that conversation then. But I think right now it's different than what Auburn is going on, has going on right now. Charger Vol says, yes, we could beat Memphis this year. The coach there is running out of Fuente's talent. Love hearing Tiger High fans complain about losing to Tulane.
That was bad. 2 weeks ago, they lost 42-13 to Tulane. Just a that's not. And that wasn't indicative. We shouldn't base Memphis off of that one game, but that was a very bad look. And they have a big test this weekend. They play the defending national champs, the UFC Golden Knights.
Ooh, John B. says the 0-1 Miami has six first rounders in the 2002 draft. Well, the information I saw said five, but whatever. Who cares about the whole details? And then they had 18.
In 1 year, 18 of – wait. Well, sorry, go ahead.
They had 18 eventual first-round picks on that team, including Sean Taylor, Antrell Roll, Willis McGahee, Vince Wilfork, Kellen Winslow, and then they all sat the bench that season in the 0-1 season, easily the most talented team in recent history. So the stat I looked up had five first-round draft picks in that 0-2 draft from the 0-1 team. John B. just said six. I thought it was 6-2 when I said it earlier, but I think it's, in fact, 5 from what I looked up. But, yeah, going back to what Chris Lowe said, the Nebraska team, the Miami team, easily probably the best college football teams we've seen in history. But you got to add Alabama in there, too,
and Chris,
they continue to do what they're doing this season.
Chris referenced the 2011 Alabama team, but I would actually say 2009 because that's – that's actually the only team under Saban that has gone undefeated. They went 14-0, and I mean, I guess
I don't think
that team
bad.
Obviously got bodied by Tennessee that year. But
what is? I mean, the record
doesn't indicate how good a team is, because any team can lose on any given day.
Yeah,
just like the Predators lost 3-0 last night in a terrible performance. That game does not mean that
to a
they're
a
bad hockey team.
Yeah. I guess that 2009 is always the one that I've looked at as like the cornerstone of Saban's tenure, because really the only close game that they played that entire season was Tennessee, and then they beat LSU by 9.
I don't know. That 2011 beatdown of Notre Dame was all I needed to see.
Yeah.
It was pretty ugly.
Yeah,
Manti Te'o and his fake girlfriend.
Yeah, I'm gonna go CeeLo on that one, man. That was a really good talented team inside of the SEC. We talk about SEC's best teams in history. You can put Alabama up there, but overall, which was what Chris Lowe was talking about, was the Nebraska team there in 97.
And we had, and I think
I thought you said 95.
95, and then Miami team of 01. Those two teams were very talented. What are you going to say, Charlie?
I think somebody on the text box also, in addition to Chris Lowe, brought up, or maybe it was on Twitter, brought up those Nebraska teams, how they were just unreal, like this Alabama team is now, where they were just beating everybody by 50. Yeah, that's kind of out of sight, out of mind at this point because it's just been a while. But
I don't think we'll see it this year because Alabama's offense is so dynamic and they're going to put up 40, 50, 60 points every game. But this is not Nick Saban's best defense at Alabama. No. And I think if the offense was weaker, then you would see the defense maybe cost them a game. But this is by far, no doubt in my mind, the greatest offense Nick Saban has ever had.
Correct. No doubt about that. D. Cody says, the only M word you'll hear around here is money, a.k.a. your boy Burt. All right. D. Cody, well,
I'm for that M-word.
Let me borrow $20 then if you got all the money over there. SC Vols fan says, Swain, ask the viewers who all is traveling to Auburn this weekend. I'm hoping for a good turnout. It's my first trip to Auburn, and would love to meet some true fans down there. Go Vols. Hey, man, there's a lot of true fans is staying their butt home, too. They may be staying home for different reasons.
Because I am going to the game, I'm a true fan. I'm going to stand on a high pedestal. I am above all of you.
You a VFL?
I'm a true VFL. No, I'm a TVFL, true VFL. I've got my toilet paper ready. I'm ready to roll those Auburn trees if Tennessee pulls off an upset. I'm ready to go. So, yes, I'm going to stand on a high pedestal.
Whoa. So you are packing toilet paper?
100%.
Okay, well, that means you truly believe.
That's some hubris.
Because if you don't pack the toilet paper, that means you don't believe at all. It's kind of like when you play Alabama and you do not line the locker room with cigars.
I did not buy a cigar last year for that Tennessee-Alabama game.
Well, I mean, you're not on the team. Why would you buy a cigar?
Because the fans smoke, too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. You know, the fans.
Yeah, because Tennessee never gets to smoke.
Well, I didn't know. I didn't know that when Tennessee beat Alabama in 2006, it's the last time. I didn't know that fans said, you know what, I'm a blaze up too.
Well, I hope they did. Maybe somebody. I know Alabama fans do. That Bryant Denny is lit with smoke. It is a cloud after the Tennessee. They kick folks out that start to premature light their little cigar. They'll start to kick them out. Because last year there's a Bama fan sitting next to me who started to light his in the third quarter, and they kicked him out.
Damn, man, third quarter?
But then once it gets to like 2, 3, 4 minutes left in the game, they'll let them all light up. So I'm hoping that back in the day, in 2006, when you were playing, Tennessee fans did light up their cigars.
Hey, man, I did not know that.
We need confirmation. Can somebody who was at the 2006 Tennessee-Alabama game in Neyland Stadium, did you smoke a cigar after the game?
Or, I mean, even if you wasn't there, I mean,
did
you celebrate by smoking a cigar? Because I thought that was just something that only the players and the coaches did in the locker room. And I didn't really – I don't think I even smoked my cigar. I just had it.
Do you like cigars?
Not really.
I was never old enough back when Tennessee was beating Alabama to have a cigar.
I have a cigar at my apartment that will be smoked if Tennessee were to pull off the greatest upset in college football history.
You got
to
be prepared.
Well, this is from like 2 years ago when I was trying to hope that Tennessee would beat Alabama.
Just get the toilet paper. Don't worry about the cigar right now.
Yeah, but I have my toilet paper packed. It is in my bathroom, ready to roll.
All right, man. Just want to make sure.
I told you, I don't know if I said this on air or off, but Auburn Tumors Corner has a live feed of the trees. So, after the game, I will tweet out a particular time, and you can witness me throw the toilet paper because I've been telling folks that I'm going to do it, and nobody believes me. Everybody thinks that I'm going to chicken out. I don't understand what the whole ordeal is.
So, I can go right now and
you should be able to.
Tumors Corner.
I don't know if maybe it's just a game day thing, but my fiance's parents, big Auburn fans, as I've said a million times, some days in their house on a separate computer, they pull up the live stream and just watch people.
Oh, look, I'm watching it, man. It's raining down there.
I know. It's about to get hit by a hurricane.
Yeah, I'm watching it. I'm watching it.
Yeah, so you can watch me.
I can't tell which one's a tree and which one's not. They all look the same. All the trees look the same. I can't tell. Huh, this is pretty neat. Hey, two people walking in class. Hey, hurry up.
People in Auburn go to class?
Hey, you're jaywalking. You got to wait until the sun is yellow and you can walk. You're jaywalking. Bunch of thugs down at Auburn.
That means they're late for class.
Criminals. Thugs. Jaywalking down there. All right, 865-200-5503, B-Dry, waterproofing hotline.
Hour 3 of the Swain event is brought to you by the Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again. Let us help.
VFL's Jason Swain and Todd Kelly here with our Men on Football and Smoothie segment. Let's discuss some of our favorite smoothies and how they impact our lives. TK, man, tell me which smoothie comes to mind when you think about playing defense.
Swain-O, the Peanut Butter Power Plus and the Power Punch Plus provide the energy needed to make plays every time they take the field. Then you have the Gladiator and the Hulk, nutrition every dominant player has to have. Bottom line, everyone wants to be a dominant player. Now, Swain, you tell me about the offensive side of the ball.
TK, it's simple. You always score with Smoothie King. The Shredder personifies what we are going to do to opposing defenses. The Berry Punch and Activator will light up the scoreboard. And in case we need to go into overtime, the Pure Recharge will put us over the top for the win.
Swain-O, you know I love football and Smoothie King. I'm a VFL, a Smoothie King for life. The Chocolate Gladiator and the Chocolate Shredder with the scoop of peanut butter. Oh, that's my go-to smoothie. They get a chest bump all day.
Yes, sir. This concludes our Men on Football and Smoothie King segment for today. Don't forget the Sip by Sip program. Use Smoothie King as a meal replacement 5 or more times a week, and you'll feel and see the difference. Smoothie King, the healthy alternative to fast food. Delicious and nutritious.
TK, don't forget the peanut butter. Yeah, boy.
For a replay of each day's Swain Event TV, like us on Facebook.
Swain Event, Hour 3, powered by Low T Center, LowTCenter.com. Hour 2 was powered by and brought to you by Alumni Hall. Get game day ready. Headquarters for everything orange and white. A paper mill, West Town Mall, Turkey Creek. You can shop online wherever you are. Doesn't matter if you are in California, New York, Florida, Texas, Montana, New Mexico. Does not matter. You can get your orange or white by shopping online at alumnihall.com. Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, you can follow them at Alumni Hall UT. We're going to be joined by Austin Price here on the show. Let's get to Turkey Man, who is on the B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline. Turkey Man, got about 30 seconds, and then we got to bring on Austin Price here. Good morning, Turkey Man.
Well, good morning. How you doing, individuals? You're talking offensive best teams.
Mm-hmm.
Not the best team, but offensive. I was thinking those Oregon teams just offensively put up as much points as I can remember.
With Mariota.
Well, all the way through, they probably hold a record of points per game. I don't know that, but they sure put them up. And on the other thing, he's talking to real far on the way out of here. Old Chris Lowe knows he's losing some weight, and he talks about his age. Is he a silver sneaker?
Chris Lowe looks good, man. A silver what?
Is that a silver sneaker?
What is a silver? You know what? We'll Google that later. Let's get to Austin Price here. Austin Price, VolQuest.com, joins us here at the Swain event. Austin, good morning. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you, Jason?
Man, I'm fantastic, man. Is it good to be back home amongst us regular folks here in Knoxville, Tennessee?
It's good to be back home, yes. I had a good long weekend and ready to head down to, you know, your home state this weekend.
That's right, man. You're going to be in I don't want to say the great state of Alabama, because I only claim one part of Alabama. That is North Alabama, Huntsville. And I claim Rainesville, too, since German Pruitt's from there. But anything south of Huntsville, I don't really mess with like that. And I got family in Alabama, but it's weird. It's a love-hate relationship. Price, what is a realistic, I guess, expectation for this Tennessee team against Auburn? And you know everything that's going on with Auburn, some of the stuff that's coming out about locker room issues and the defense against the quarterback, Jarrett Stidham. And here we go again with Chip Lindsey and Gus Malzahn, that whole OC head coach dynamic, something that happened before with Gus Malzahn and Rhett Lashley. Hey, what's a realistic expectation for Tennessee coming off a bye week as they head down to the Plains this weekend?
Realistic expectation?
Yeah.
To go in and compete, man. I mean, will they win? Who knows? I mean, I could see them pull the upset. I could also see Auburn, with a motivated Kevin Steele, with the fact, he was a finalist for this job and did not get it, and, an Auburn fan base that, is all over this current staff. Do they come out and play inspired early? They're being told all week long that, Tennessee's, kind of laying in wait, and Auburn's ripe for the picking, and yada, 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 and, and they're hearing all the things that Tennessee really doesn't want them to hear right now. And so, I think that this game has got a couple of different variances to it. And, when I look at it, Tennessee's going to have to really be good the first quarter if they're going to win the football game. I don't feel like they can fall behind and get a W. I think they've got to have the lead coming out of the first quarter.
Austin, Tennessee has some pretty important recruiting battles going on with Auburn specifically. Yeah. Does the outcome of this game affect any of those, you think?
I don't think the outcome, will determine whether they're able to hold on to Wanya Morris or land any of the guys down the stretch that Auburn and Tennessee are kind of going head-to-head with, Charlie. I do think the overall season can have an impact, but let's face it. I mean, you look at Auburn right now, they're at two losses. If Tennessee could come down, I call Tennessee the potential death knell for Auburn. Because if, you go down and you're able to spring an upset, it would be a huge upset if Tennessee was to go down there and compete and win. They've already kind of got the first good luck on their side with the 11 a.m. kickoff. But if they're able to, pull the upset, then all of a sudden, Auburn, with all the dysfunction that it has, still got Georgia, Alabama, Texas A&M. I mean, you're looking at a potential disastrous year, but the buyout for old Gus is, that's mint.
$33 million. We looked it up earlier.
I don't think they're going to be able to get rid of him. So, to me, really, it puts Auburn in a really tough spot going forward. And so, I think that this game can help Tennessee. I don't think it necessarily hurts Tennessee because, Jeremy Pruitt and them have been telling Wanya Morris and several of these prospects, look, we're going to lose these games this time of year right now. We don't have you guys. We don't have the big guns here to win them. And so, to win these games, we need players like you. And so, the Darnell Wrights and the Wanya Morrises and those type of players, they've been, fed the message of Tennessee's going to lose. So if Tennessee was to, somehow hang with Auburn and play them close or even pull out a win, it would be a huge win for the Vols.
Austin, if Monday comes around and we're talking about a Tennessee win, I think it's because the offensive line took a tremendous step forward. Over the course of the bye week and this practice week, did Tennessee make any tweaks up front that would indicate that maybe they're on the verge of taking a step forward?
Well, Nathan Niehaus was running at guard yesterday when we were out there. I still have a hard time believing that they make any really wholesale changes. This has been a staff that's kind of been, once they've kind of found their groove, they're kind of sticking with, the guys that have been playing and maybe, working in some players on a series or two. But I think for the most part, I think the biggest outcome of this game will be if Tennessee's defensive line can get to the quarterback like it did at Athens, Georgia. Because I think if that happens, Jarrett Stidham's much more prone to a wayward pass and a potential interception than Jake Fromm ever was. So I think if Tennessee's defensive line can get there, then to me that's the key in the football game.
Speaking of Georgia, Trevon Flowers is out with a broken collarbone, and Schamberger did not travel against Georgia. What the hell is going on with Sean Schamberger?
And gotta take care of things off the field. You got to do the little things, Jason. Being attentive in meetings, showing up to meetings, doing all the little things you're supposed to do as a player, going to class. And I'm not saying that there's one particular thing that he's doing that's wrong. I'm just saying, you have those little things that are off the field.
you know, that aren't between the white lines between practice or a game, you know, that you have to take care of as a student athlete, as a player, you know, holding, you know, being held accountable, holding your teammates accountable, all the little things. And, you know, once he figures that part out, I think Sean Schamberger will factor, and he may factor this week just because go back to yesterday's practice. It was Schamberger running with the first team safeties because Micah Abernathy was working off to the side. Obviously, still a little banged up, got a little tweak, and then of course as you noted, Trayvon Flowers is out with the broken collarbone. So they need Schamberger to play. They need Schamberger to play well, and he ought to be motivated. This is a game going to his home state. He's from the state of Alabama, even though he went over to for his senior year and played in Georgia.
Speaking of defensive backs, do we see Todd Kelly Jr. this weekend?
I don't think so. I mean, for whatever reason, he finally got to start dressing out at Georgia, had the off week. He'll travel to Auburn. But I still think, he's a ways away from playing. Still trying to rehab the knee. It's something that's been, hampering him. And so I'll be shocked if TK plays. But, I don't think he could hurt just based on the fact that, TK is probably the smartest safety you have on the back end of your defense. And he's always going to know where to be and be in position. So, to me, if he, I don't think he should start. But, I wouldn't go too far down the list before, I'd throw 24 out there.
Austin Price here, VolQuest.com. Owen Popoli, Auburn commit, and all that stuff that's going on in Auburn. And I know Tennessee is still after him, just like they're still after some other committed players, Bill Norton and others there, Eric Gray. What is Tennessee's chances on maybe flipping some of these players who are committed to either SEC programs or other big-time programs?
I think that a lot of that will depend on how they do the next, 6 or 7 weeks. What kind of progress does the program look like it's making under Jeremy Pruitt and his staff? Tennessee, obviously, a guy like Jalen Ellis, who's a wide receiver out of, Round Rock, Texas, who's a burner. That's what Tennessee needs. He's supposed to come on an official visit for the Alabama game. He knows that, he would be a difference maker here. He's something Tennessee does not have. Javonte Payton committed to Ole Miss. You mentioned Bill Norton, Maurice Hampton. You can go right down the line. Tennessee's in on a lot of guys that are committed elsewhere. They're sure obviously not going to get, their line share there. But if they can flip one or two guys, that would be a nice add because all those players are really good players. And so you just want to flip the right guys. And honestly, I think as big as anything is, holding on to what you have because you've got a nice solid base. Hold on to Lakia Henry. You're not real deep at linebacker. You could use him a year from now. In a big way, obviously J.J. Peterson will be a year further along in the football program at that point. And then hold on to Wanya Morris, hold on to some of these players that, other schools are coming hard after. Because if you can hold on to those guys and then add a Darnell Wright, maybe add an Eric Gray, then all of a sudden the class fills out nicely near the end.
Austin, last week Georgia had a miserable week of recruiting, losing three commitments to Jaden Hazelwood, Jalen Perry, J.D. Bertrand. Do you have a theory as to why those guys decommitted, and does Tennessee have a chance to maybe land those guys?
Well, I think Hazelwood, he moved on from Georgia. The other two, Georgia moved on from them. And, of course, the school's always going to take the high road, allow the prospect to say that he's decommitting, but Georgia, this is a situation where Georgia's low on numbers. Georgia's still got several big fish out there, and to be fair to those prospects, they don't want to cut them late in the process. They'd rather give them ample time to find a second home. And so I think that with Bertrand, he was a guy that Georgia wanted to kind of go in a different direction. Same thing with Jalen Perry. Hazelwood, now that was a big loss for the Dogs. And it looks like Oklahoma and Miami, kind of the two teams that are potentially at the top of his list at this point.
Austin, last question before we get you out of here. What is too old to trick-or-treat, and what was the last time that you went out trick-or-treat? I'm not talking about as a father, but I mean as a young man looking for candy yourself. How old were you the last time you went out trick-or-treating?
Well, honestly, Jason, I had not been out since I was 6 or 7 years old. We started taking, and we had Addison, who's my oldest, we took her to the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party. 2013, so, you know, it was, you know, fall of 2013, she was like 6 months old, you know, at the time, and so we took her down to that, and of course, you know, she was Tinkerbell, and we did not dress up, and we quickly realized that most of the adults at this event at Disney do dress up, and so ever since then, we've had our little theme. Our theme this year was Toy Story, and the kids go around, they get to see, you know, different characters that are not out at Disney every day, and get to see some villains, get to get candy around the Magic Kingdom. So it's a real neat treat for them. And, you know, honestly, as their dad, I'll probably put that edict down that they'll be doing that for as long as I tell them to.
What about when you were young Austin Price? Did you say that 6 years old was the last year that you went out trick-or-treating?
Yeah, man, I had not dressed up since I was like a very small kid, like 6, 7 years old. I mean, I just, you know.
So you're like a grown man at like 7.
Apparently so, yes. I just quit dressing up. And then, like I said, I've never been a big costume guy. But for my kids, you know, my girls, they've got dress-up clothes around the house, so they're constantly putting on a Sophia dress or a Belle dress or whatever. And so, like, they think it's really funny when Mommy and Daddy decide to dress up with them too. And so, last year we were Star Wars, this year we were Toy Story. And Swain, I'm going to leave it to you. It's got to be Disney themed. I'm going to leave it to you. You come up with our theme for next year.
I had to try, man. I had to get into the lab and think of something good for you. So basically, Austin, you were like 8 years old, and you didn't dress up, but you just walked around the neighborhood knocking on people's doors saying, hey, give me some candy. Just in your normal school clothes.
Give me a stapler.
Oh, man. Hey, that's Austin, that's why you are one of the best on the Tennessee beat, man. No time to be trick-or-treating. You got to get ready to live your best life as a Tennessee beat reporter. You already knew what you wanted to do at the age of 7, 8 years old. No time to search for candy.
That's right.
Can I get some Johnson & Murphy socks, please? Some loafers.
Oh, man. Awesome, man. Thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it, man.
Hey, thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
Hey, thank you.
It's good stuff.
I was sent a video on Facebook.
So I watched
of Sean Schamberger talking. Uh-oh. And I need to watch it before we discuss it.
I listened to it.
And
is it bad?
I'll put it this way: we definitely cannot play it on the show because it is profanity laced. But it is not good. I don't know what the full context is here, and I don't want to throw dispersions before we know. But I will say it through the initial viewing.
I'm not a big fan of the
it's not
whole
ideal.
of the Snapchat filters, guys. That's
probably the worst part. And also, you haven't listened to it yet. Not only is it a Snapchat filter where they look. It has like cat whiskers. The two dudes in the video. We can watch it and figure it out.
I'm not a big fan, guys, of the whole Snapchat whiskers filter.
So they have.
I don't think it's a good look.
And it makes their voice. They sound like this. They. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
It's
of that.
Not good.
I'm so glad that I am 34 years old. I'm so.
I use
glad.
Snapchat on a regular basis, but I do not use those.
You don't use the filters, Ben?
I use it maybe once every 3 months.
It makes your eyes. Glow.
I mean,
it makes your nose.
I've used it before, but it was sent to my fiance in a fashion to be funny.
Okay, that's cool.
And it's not on a common basis. I don't remember the last time I did it.
I'm not
with you. I don't like it either. Now, I like the little puppy dog ears.
Oh, man. I'm not a big fan of the whole filters on Snapchat, guys. But hey, man, do you? I need to watch the video. Someone sent it to me. I need to watch what was said, hear what was said.
Okay, I'm nervous.
And then we'll come back after the break and see if we can discuss it. Because I don't know. It may be terrible. May not be able to talk about it, but we'll see. Swain Event, hour 3 here on 850 AM, 100.9 FM, Rocky Top Sports. Hour 3 powered by Low T Center and LowTCenter.com.
Hour 3 of the Swain event is brought to you by the Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again. Let us help.
Top 100 barbecue restaurant Dead End Barbecue has a new slew of daily specials. Enjoy a different special meal every day, like the Chipotle Chicken Salad, the Chicken Tender Sandwich, or the Kitchen Sink Burrito filled with brisket, pulled pork, and chicken, not to mention queso, jalapenos, and more. It's called the Kitchen Sink for a reason. Dead End isn't stopping at your plate, though. Be sure to check out their new summer drink offerings, including the Big Orange Crush, My Clementine, or the Tequila Squirt. There is always something new at Dead End Barbecue. Located off of Sutherland Avenue, Dead End Barbecue. The summer flavor search is over.
You're driving home, flashing blue lights in your rearview mirror. You pull over, step out of your car, and the next thing you know, you're being arrested for driving under the influence. Now, what do you do? We all should be responsible. But remember, just because you're arrested doesn't mean you're guilty. Call criminal defense and DUI attorney Marcos Garza at 865-540-8300. The investigative teams at the Garza Law Firm know the justice system inside and out. They utilize cutting-edge technologies and investigative methods to prepare your specific case. Before you plead guilty to any criminal charges, call criminal defense and DUI attorney Marcos Garza. Put his number in your phone right now, 865-540-8300, because you never know when you or a friend will need it. Don't say guilty. Say Garza. 865-540-8300. 865-540-8300 and GarzaLaw.com.
Backed by popular demand, shop tax-free at Better Mattress during the month of October. Save hundreds of dollars store-wide. Better Mattress will pay your sales tax on any purchase. My Better Mattress has me sleeping better than ever, and it's handcrafted in East Tennessee, so I know it is made to last by good people who care about the quality of their work. Better Mattress makes it so easy to choose a mattress, you can get started right now. Visit bedrmattress.com and click on Mattress Prescription. Answer a few questions and they'll send you some options to start with. Plus, at Better Mattress, shoppers sleep worry-free. If you don't like it after 100 nights, they'll swap it out for you, and your Better Mattress will come with a 20-year warranty. Shop Better Mattress tax-free this month only. Good night, just got better.
We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, Incipico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's, or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technicians to see how we can get your phone working today.
Nobody likes surprises, so switch to Erie Rate Lock. Get a great rate that stays that way, even after an accident, ticket, or inflation. In fact, it's locked until you change a car, driver, or your address.
Your Erie agent in Knoxville is InsureFit RM. Get a quote at 865-684-4900. That's 865-684-4900.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage and is not available in all states.
JC's Tree and Landscaping Service specializes in quality tree work done at an affordable price. Trimming and removing trees are their specialty. They also offer other services like land clearing, stump grinding, crane services, and all of your basic landscaping needs for both commercial and residential. JC's will give you a free estimate and beat any written quote by a competitor to guarantee that you get the lowest price around. Don't risk your land with a fly-by-night service. JC's Tree and Landscaping is licensed and insured. Give them a call at 865-599-3799.
At work? Can't call in? Don't feel bad. You can talk to the guys on the text box. It's part of the free Swain Event app.
Boy. So glad we did not have social media like this.
Don't use social media. Just don't.
Oh, man. Wow. Now, Sean Schamberger is in the video. He did not talk. He did not really say much. Another player who, again, we're still trying to figure out who it is.
Struggling to find out who it is.
To be honest, is doing most of the talking. Actually, all of the talking. It looks like they're in a hotel room, maybe on a Friday night or something like that.
I hope it's before a game.
And the gentleman talking is using his hillbilly voice, and he sounds like that he is mimicking.
He's kind of talking like this.
Country folk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of profanity.
Yes.
And Sean Schamberger's in the background, and he kind of leans into the video. It's weird. It is definitely what you don't really want to deal with if you are on this coaching staff. I mean, goodness gracious, you're trying to recruit. You are preparing for an SEC game. And the last thing you want to do is get a phone call or get a message talking about one of your players acting crazy, acting a fool on social media. It's really not a good look. It's a distraction. And this is why Dabo has decided to take the easy way out and just ban everybody from doing social media during the season, because it's a whole lot easier. But it's not a good look at all. My gosh. I'm sorry, man.
Kids.
There's just other things you can be doing, like prepare for the game. And if I'm Sean Schamberger, man, I'm trying to do everything I can to get on the field. I know he didn't say anything in the video, but golly, man. These dudes don't understand. Like, when it's over, it's over. You got to maximize every opportunity. And I'm saying that because there were times when I was a student and I didn't really understand the moment. And yeah, people telling you, hey, you only got 4 years and time flies. And yeah, time does fly. When it's gone and you look back, you realize, oh my gosh, where did it go? And you only have this short window to maximize your opportunities to go either play football or go set yourself up for success after football. This is it. This is a short window. Because after you're done playing, I hate to say this, but some people don't care about you as much. You're not a player anymore. And I think a lot of former Vols can tell you that, former athletes can tell you that. That the same people that's in your face while you're playing, they're not going to be in your face. I remember when I decided to walk away from the Bears, and I had someone like he was mad at me. Excuse me. Last time I checked, I was the one that was having the surgeries. I was the one that had to take all the anti-inflammatories that was damaging to my body. I was the one that had to sleep in pain and ice bath and all these things. I'm sorry. I didn't think it was you. Oh, so you mad because you didn't have a ride? That your ride that you thought you were going to ride is gone? That's you mad at me? You realize that.
I think something that will set apart football coaches that are coming up right now in this current generation of college football is a coach that can break players down and make them forget about, I guess you could say, forget about me. Forget about that. I want the exposure. I want to be the dude. I want the followers on Twitter. I want the Facebook likes. I want the Instagram whatevers. You know, I think a coach that can truly get players to forget about that and truly become a team player, that's who will really
excel.
Because it's so pervasive in the culture right now. Just this, you know, every kid wants to be like a YouTuber. That's what I see. I got friends that have kids. They all watch YouTube, and their kids want to be YouTubers. They're like, I want to grow up and talk on YouTube as a job. No, you do not. Let me tell you, just like from what we do here, we get exposure, and it wears on me sometimes having people. You know, I definitely appreciate the job. I love what I do, but being in a public light like this, you have to have thick skin. People are going to tell you you're stupid on a daily basis, and they're going to criticize everything that you say, and it's not fun having that public persona. But you can't tell that to kids. They just think about, oh, what if I got a million views on a video and I got 1,000 likes or whatever, and it's becoming this just all throughout culture. And I really think, I mean, you may be right, Ben. I don't know if it's possible to do that.
The reason I don't think that we'll be able to is because just last 2 years ago, Tennessee's recruiting pitch to Trey Smith was that you can come here and build
your brand.
Your brand.
Mm-hmm.
Build your brand.
And I think that's a mistake.
And it's good if it's used in the right sense, because nobody's questioning Trey Smith's love for Tennessee or if he cares for his teammates or something like that. You know he's going to play hard. He may not be playing up to his ability right now, but he's still out there grinding, trying to find a way to knock that rust off. And I really see it more in professional sports than I do at the college level, because you have your avenues like Snapchat and Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. I mean, I follow Antonio Brown on Snapchat, and the dude will sometimes like take a screenshot of how many views his stories have, and it's like 600,000.
He takes screenshots of the views?
Have you not realized that Antonio Brown is...
Oh, Antonio Brown loves him some Antonio Brown.
Exactly. So, well, even like DJ Khaled, and I know he's on a bigger scale in the entertainment world,
you
but
played yourself.
A million views on a Snapchat story. A Snapchat story.
It's crazy.
And so...
It's crazy.
I think a lot of these up-and-coming athletes want to be that next Antonio Brown, who are not only great on the football field or on the basketball court or on the baseball diamond, but they have this incredible social media following. I mean, look at Juju Smith-Schuster. The guy lives on social media and is constantly posting videos about him playing Fortnite, his touchdown celebrations, him doing these random dances in the middle of public. So I don't know that we're going to get – I think, if anything, we're going to see an increase in the use of social media going forward.
I was talking to Grant Williams at the media day, the basketball media day last week, and he said – the guys on the team are, some of them, not everybody, are like obsessed with Fortnite. And of course, that's a little different than social media, but of course it is a distraction. I think social media can go down the same exact path. You know, I told him, I said, you know, there was a guy in the NHL who was an up-and-coming prospect, was this guy who had a big future, and he literally lost it all because he couldn't stop playing Fortnite. There was a story about it. I saw it on Bleacher Report or something.
David Price is one of the best pitchers in baseball, and he had carpal tunnel because he couldn't stop playing Fortnite.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Like, you got to watch. This is real. Yeah, it just feels like it's digital. Like, oh, it's just on a computer, and I could walk away if I wanted to. Could you, though? Could you actually walk away if you wanted to? It really is a real problem, and I think it's just going to keep getting worse. And that's why I say if you can be a coach who can make these dudes forget about that somehow, I don't know if it's possible, but if you could, I think you'll excel, because you will have, by doing that with your team, you will have a leg up on other teams who have dudes that are obsessed with how they look on Instagram, you know? Right. Just my two cents there.
My God. I mean, just this is... It's not a good look at all, and it's really disappointing. If I'm a Tennessee coach or anyone associated with Tennessee, you know, you got to pull Schamberger to the side and go, you mean, you got to just be careful about things that you number one say, and the things that you allow yourself to be in. I mean, the videos that you allow yourself to be in, because that not only reflects you, but it reflects the university and your teammates. And so the last thing you want to do is put your teammates in a position where they have the answer for something that you did or said. And so I hate this, because it's not ideal. I'll just say that. I'm still looking for the guy on the roster.
I have a theory, but I'm not going to say that on the radio if I don't know for certain that it is him.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely be. We don't want to speak out of turn about this.
Man, again, there is one person is doing most of the talking. Most of it is profanity.
And we're not sure who it is.
Talking in a hillbilly voice and whatever. And then Sean Schamberger is in the video kind of in the background. He did not say anything, but it is weird. And you have to understand that you have enemies. This was posted by Vol Hater page on Facebook. Like this page is dedicated to just trashing Tennessee. And if they can find anything negative to say or negative about Tennessee to post to hurt Tennessee, they're going to do it. So if you are associated with Tennessee, why give them ammunition? A couple years ago, you had the Florida Gator fan that set up Todd Gurley to get him in trouble by giving him money for some signed gear or some signed memorabilia, whatever. But he purposely did that to get them in trouble. How about the Tennessee fan that tried to get Laramie Tunsil in trouble? Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to understand, you have enemies out here. You got to be careful. Don't give them a reason. Unreal, man. Hour 3, powered by Low T Center, lowtcenter.com. Boy. And you're gonna hear about it. You're going to see it. You're gonna see it. John W. says, Charlie, you sound like the old man yelling at the cloud, but I'm right there with you. LOL.
See, I feel that way. And I'm, you know, obviously, I'm all over Twitter all the time. I'm a social media guy. I got to be as a part of this job. You have to be all about it. But that is just that's the way it is. Social media can be toxic, and I don't think that there's any real way that you can say that's wrong. There's studies, there's science behind it, and as you know with social media mobs, or sorry, CNN, I mean social media M-words. M-words.
M as in Mister.
Like things can go wrong really, really quickly, and it can legitimately ruin your life. Like you're saying, you got enemies out there. You got to be careful.
Now, I will say we're kind of trashing social media, but
no, I mean, used it's, correctly, it's negative things in social media.
Yes, it's fair to point out. But on the flip side of that, there are also positive ways. Yeah. Look at our attaboy today and Chris Evans,
yes,
Captain America, Josh Dobbs. Outside of blocking people, in terms of like what he tweets and things he gives recognition to, he handles social media perfectly in that aspect.
Mm-hmm. Boy. All right, going to the text box. Shoefish86 says, what's up with Schamberger? There's no way he's this bad. Pull from an article. Quote, Schamberger didn't play a defensive snap against West Virginia, Florida, or Georgia, and was not on the trip to Athens. I don't get it. Yeah, I mean, I get it now. I mean, I got it even before we talked to Austin Price, but he just confirmed it, and that was that he's not done everything right off the field.
And your eyes lit up the being tentative in meetings, showing up for meetings, being on time for meetings. Those are kind of important details. You've heard professionals kind of. I want to say there was somebody recently that showed up late for a meeting and was suspended for the first quarter of whatever game that week. I just don't understand how you can be a positive figure in a football complex, but you're either showing up late for meetings, you're being disruptive, or you're not showing up at all.
Man, I just think that when you have a new coach in here, you have opportunity to play, make impact. I just think you try to do everything right. I remember when Coach Cutt came, and if you remember that interview, I mean, Coach Cutt said it. He was like, I went to him, and I said, hey, whatever I could do, let me know. And he told me, just mean what you say and say what you mean. And that was an opportunity. It didn't matter if I was a senior or not. You got a new coach, man. You got to make a great impression. So what do you need to do? I'm trying to find out how I can get on the field and make plays and help my team win. And new coach, you should have a little bit more sense of urgency to do everything right. I don't get it, man. I don't get it at all.
It's almost as if Schamberger feels like Butch Jones is still the head coach. In the sense that he can just kind of do whatever he wants, and he's not going to be punished for it.
Maybe he just wants to go, and he's. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know.
It's a weird situation.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and try to make up theories of why he's not getting it done or being a factor there with the secondary. But it is pretty disappointing to see that he's, you know, not traveling and he's not taking care of business. All right, that is us for today's show. Golly, there's two guys in the video. Schamburg's not even said anything in the video. There's one person talking, and I hate that we have to wrap up today's show without really coming up with a real name, a person. But I don't think it's a.
It may not even be a football player.
Yeah, I mean, we got to figure it out, man. But I know Sean Schamburg is definitely in the video, and it's not a good look at all. So, great distraction for that team. And it's gonna get out more. I mean, social media, and I saw other fans from other fan bases commenting on it. And so before you know it, it'll be out and it'll be discussed. So you gotta be careful what you put out for sure. Low T Center, low testosterone, sleep apnea, hypothyroidism, allergies, high cholesterol, diabetes, hypertension. Low T Center extending their services. So make sure you give them a call. Go to the website, lowtcenter.com. For Ben McKee and Charlie Burris from Jason Swain, we hope you have a great, great Wednesday. Same time tomorrow, 7 a.m. Tomorrow, we'll be joined by Cole Kublik, SEC Network, and former Auburn offensive lineman as we continue to preview Tennessee and Auburn. Until then, have a great day. Peace and love. We're out.